a regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Welcome to another edition of Bearing Arms, Cam and Company. My name is Cam Edwards. Glad you're with me on the program today. We've got John Comerford, NRA ILA Executive Director, with us on the program to talk about the Third Circuit decision. Came down last Friday, negating New Jersey's ban on so-called assault weapons, at least when it comes to semi-automatic rifles, as well as deciding that the state's ban on large-capacity magazines is also unconstitutional. This was a fantastic decision. Now, the Supreme Court, the Third Circuit did say, we're not going to decide about the shotguns and the pistols that fall under the state's ban on so-called assault weapons. We're going to kick this back down to the district court. They can do the analysis to determine if those arms are covered as well. And I think based on what the Third Circuit opinion says, those arms are, in fact, going to be covered. This was a fantastic decision. This was an en banc panel on the Third Circuit. So the only place for the state of New Jersey to appeal is to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court has already indicated that it is, it's already not indicated, it's come out and said, it's hearing gun ban cases next term, right? We've got the challenge to Cook County, Illinois' gun ban, the Viramontes case. You've got two challenges to ban on so-called assault weapons in Connecticut, including, I believe, Grant versus Higgins is the other one, or at least one of those two cases. So this issue is going before the court. Now, the magazine ban, maybe not, right? The Supreme Court did hold on to two magazine cases out of the Ninth Circuit, Gators Custom Guns versus Washington and Duncan versus Bonta, which is the long-running challenge to California's ban on quote-unquote large-capacity magazines. They did not grant cert to those cases. They did not deny those cases. They held them over until next term, which is interesting in and of itself. My expectation was that we'd probably see those cases GVR'd, you know, that grant cert, vacate the lower court decisions, remand them back down to the lower courts for a do-over in light of what they say in Viramontes. But, you know, in talking with John Comerford today, that may not be the case because you now do have a circuit court split on the issue of magazine bans. Supreme Court didn't wait for that split to take up a hardware case, but maybe this makes a magazine case more attractive to the justices. Anyway, it's an interesting conversation with John Comerford. I will alert you that John joined us from, I believe it was Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport, as he was waiting for a connecting flight. So the internet connection, not great. John does look very pixelated for a lot of this, but the audio, for the most part, comes through loud and clear. There were a couple of audio glitches, just a couple of seconds worth, but not enough to scrap the interview. I think it is well worth hearing what John has to say, not only about what happened in the Third Circuit, but we've got, you know, Virginia's ban on so-called assault weapons. We've got an injunction that is supposed to take place statewide starting tomorrow. And we get into that as well. So a lot to talk about when it comes to some of the most common and popular arms in the country right now. Take a look and a listen. John, I appreciate you carving out a couple of minutes from a very busy schedule. Join me from the airport today. First of all, congratulations. I mean, this was a huge victory for gun owners, not only in New Jersey, but really gun owners across the country, coming from the Third Circuit last week. What's your impression after reading this majority opinion?
Well, look, first, thanks for having me as always. And what a win. I mean, what a win off the weekend. Anytime you can send a message to a state like New Jersey, it makes it even a little bit better, especially being a individual who grew up in New Jersey. I feel the pain of what those residents have been going through, and we're facing it in Virginia. But what's a big takeaway from this case? I mean, first, it's a shot across the bow of the anti-gunners out there and their priorities and their agenda. But most importantly, that was a Biden judge who issued the opinion. The whole package was 192 pages long, but if you go into the actual opinion, it's very direct. It's almost simple. It's elegant in its simpleness, which is critical. But there's more to come.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, we know that the Supreme Court has already agreed to hear the challenge to Cook County, Illinois' gun ban, the gun bans in the state of Connecticut. But as you say, I mean, there was this elegance in the majority opinion, and it's. I'm glad that you've pointed out that this was a Biden-appointed judge, because so much of the media coverage of this story has ignored that. Right? They'll talk about Trump-appointed judges left and right, but when you get a Biden-appointed judge who actually takes a look at what the Supreme Court has said, applies that faithfully, and then comes to the conclusion that, hey, you know what? These guns are in common use for lawful purposes. It doesn't have to be just self-defense. But clearly these guns are popular for people who want to use them for self-defense. Whether or not they are actively using them for self-defense really doesn't matter. And, you know, if a gun is in common use, it cannot be dangerous and unusual. She said that those two things are mutually exclusive, right? If a gun's in common use, it cannot be dangerous and unusual. Therefore, it's protected by the Second Amendment. Really just cut through all of the nonsensical arguments that we've seen from other courts around the country, including the Fourth Circuit, upholding a Maryland's ban on so-called assault weapons.
Well, yeah, now we have a critical circuit split, not only on semi-autos, but also on magazines. So with the court granting cert in Viramontes and Grant, you know, that takes care of the hardware side of things, but those cases don't have a magazine component. So if you look at the New Jersey case, this actually got started back in 2018 when we filed the initial case, which was just on mags, when New Jersey went from 15 rounds to 10 rounds. And then we amended in a hardware component in 2022 after Bruin, the same week that Cheeseman was filed. So why is that important? Well, Duncan is still sitting before the court at SCOTUS pending our cert petition. So we'll be filing supplemental briefing in support of SCOTUS granting cert in Duncan. It was held over by the court over the summer, which is not very common, especially for a case that has been heard, I think, 20 times or 21 times in conference. But this circuit split has now developed since they decided to hold it over and since the Viramontes cert petition was granted. So we have hardware cases, and then we have that mag case that's already there waiting to go. So it's going to be an exciting few months, whether that's with Virginia or what we're seeing here in the Third Circuit, and certainly heading into 2027 when we get a decision on Viramontes.
Yeah, well, you're right. And I mean, I think, you know, my expectation was that they would hold Duncan and Gators Custom Guns versus Washington, maybe GVR those cases after Viramontes and the Connecticut cases were decided. But as you say, now there's a circuit court split, right? I mean, there's a very compelling argument to take Duncan and to go ahead and address magazines, whether it's at the same time, whether you fold that into the assault weapon challenge or you decide that separately. That split does exist. Hey, listen, I know you've got to run, but I do want to ask you, you know, as of right now, John, tomorrow is the day that the injunction against Virginia's ban on so-called assault weapons and large capacity magazines takes effect. Have you seen anything to indicate that that decision will be stayed?
I have not seen anything. So fingers crossed that stays in place and that freedom is restored in the Commonwealth. So fingers crossed. Let's see what happens tomorrow. But, you know, the state asked for a stay pending review of Viramontes at the Supreme Court, but they kind of wanted to have their cake and eat it too. They still thought some of the portions were enforceable. So we rejected that portion. We consider this a full statewide injunction to be treated as such. So no activity is actually okay in this matter. But, you know, for your listeners, look, going back to New Jersey quickly, the question that comes up is what's next? So we need the court to put this order in. It will go back to the district level to actually implement the order from the Third Circuit. And we also need to go back to the district level to argue so-called assault pistols and shotguns. But the state will appeal. I was on a program yesterday. I said, for a state that rejects due process for law-abiding gun owners, they certainly want their due process and their ability to appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. So whether they decide to do that or not is to be determined. But keep an eye on New Jersey, and folks just need to stay patient in the Third Circuit. It's going to take a little bit for this to be formalized and finalized. But it's one heck of a win nonetheless. His legal team for bringing that case all the way back in 2018 and leading and being the leading case at oral argument at both the three judge and at the en banc panel. So elections have consequences, and this is only possible because of President Donald Trump, leader John Thune confirming an additional judge the day before this was heard. All critical things.
Yeah, absolutely. John, listen, thank you so much for your time, sir. We'll let you get to your destination, and I look forward to talking again in the very near future.
Thanks, Cam.
All right, safe travels. John Comerford joining us, NRA ILA Executive Director here on Bearing Arms, Cam & Company.
My thanks again to John for joining us on the program. Looking forward to having him back again soon, hopefully in studio, and we can get a better connection there. But still, again, I think a conversation well worth having, and you know, I'm very excited, honestly, about what the Supreme Court is going to do here with the hardware ban case next term. I think that the – I was talking with Mark Walters about this on Armed American Radio last night, and he said, you know, did the Third Circuit give the Supreme Court a roadmap to overturn, you know, Cook County's assault weapons ban, Connecticut's ban on so-called assault weapons? And I said, I think that's one way to look at it. But I said, I think you can also say the Supreme Court gave the Third Circuit the roadmap to overturn New Jersey's gun and magazine ban. And I do think when you read the majority opinion, what you see is a court that is listening to what the Supreme Court has had to say about Second Amendment cases, about the test that should be used to determine whether or not a gun law today fits within the historical tradition of gun regulation and gun ownership. Did not try to play any games with what the Supreme Court has said. Took the court statement at face value. Applied the text, history, and tradition test faithfully. And came to the inescapable conclusion that bans on entire classes of arms that are in common use for lawful purposes are unconstitutional, plain and simple. And we didn't get into the, but they're like machine guns. Well, they're unusually dangerous. Quite the opposite, as a matter of fact. I mean, again, I think one of the important considerations from the Third Circuit is that the majority said, listen, if an arm is in common use for lawful purposes, it cannot be dangerous and unusual, which, again, makes sense. But we have seen courts ignore that argument and say, well, no, it doesn't matter if there are more AR-15s than Ford F-150 pickup trucks, because these arms are unusually dangerous. They have increased lethality. They can be commonly owned, but they're still, you know, again, too dangerously unusual or unusually dangerous to be protected by the Second Amendment. They're akin to machine guns. The Third Circuit opinion cut through all of that noise, and again, I think applied a very faithful and correct understanding of what the Supreme Court has had to say about a right to keep and bear arms. And the fact that this came from a Biden appointee, a majority opinion, I'm very heartened by that. I mean, look, we've certainly seen some Trump-appointed judges and, you know, even going back to like Reagan-appointed judges side with various gun control statutes. So we know that, you know, just because a Republican appoints a judge doesn't mean that that judge is going to rule in favor of gun owners or Second Amendment advocates. All too often, it seems like, you know, there is, though, that axiom that if a Democrat appoints a judge, that they will, in fact, uphold gun control each and every time. So it was nice to see that that is not the case in the Third Circuit. All right. On to today's Armed Citizen story, our good deed of the day and our recidivist report. We'll start there with a case out of Utah. Logan Mann sentenced to jail and probation for stabbing and shooting at another man in 2004, jail and probation. What this actually means is that time served and probation. Rocky Escareno Rivera was sentenced last week in Logan's First District Court after previously pleading guilty to aggravated assault, felony discharge of a firearm, and possession with intent to distribute a controlled substance, all of which are third-degree felonies in the state of Utah. The incident happened October 16th, 2024. Police officers were called to a residence there in Logan after a complainant said there were two people shooting at each other and at least two gunshots were heard. Police arrived, contacted several people at the home, including Rivera, who had two stab wounds to his right shoulder. He was taken to a local hospital for treatment. Officers also located a spent pistol cartridge and a black knife on the sidewalk and grassy area in front of the home. A man told police that he had taken his female cousin to Rivera's home to pick up her child. Not clear if this was, you know, like a child custody situation, but whatever. They went to the home to pick up a kid. When they got there, Rivera allegedly walked around to the driver's side of the car and then began stabbing the man in the shoulder. The man was able to put the vehicle in reverse, back up, and then get away. Short time later, they came back to the home because, again, they had to get the kid that was there. This time, according to authorities, Rivera came out of the residence with a handgun and then shot into the ground. He then pointed the pistol at the man, said he was going to kill the man, fired the gun a second time. Fight continued. This time, the victim was able to stab Rivera with a black knife that he had had in his pocket. Police reported that the victim had a deep cut on his left hand, consistent with a defensive wound. He also had a thick black jacket on that had several puncture holes in the left sleeve, had a stab wound on his left arm. When authorities attempted to question Rivera, he immediately requested an attorney. Officers got several warrants to search the residence. They found a large amount of blood in a holster inside the home. There was video footage from a doorbell camera that also showed the disputes and the shooting. Authorities noted that Rivera had previous convictions for associating with other gang members. I don't know if those were misdemeanor or felony convictions. He didn't plead guilty to being a felon in possession of a firearm, but he did plead guilty to a felony discharge of a firearm. During his sentencing last week, Rivera said that he was sorry to the people that he had harmed. He expressed hope to be a better parent for his children. The judge in this case, Judge Angela Fonsbeck, noted that Rivera had already served about 600 days in the Cache County Jail. It's a little bit more than a year, which she says was double the recommendation under Utah law. Now, maybe she knows better than I do. In fact, I'm sure she does know the sentencing guidelines better than I do, but 300 days seems like a very short amount of time for aggravated assault, again, felony discharge of a firearm, and felony intent to distribute a controlled substance. Certainly the aggravated assault, which I believe is punishable by up to 15 years in prison in Utah. So the judge says, 587 days. Boy, that's too much. 600 days, that's too much. So she sentenced him to 587 days with credit for time already served, which means he's out now. She also noted the defendant's lengthy criminal history and gang affiliation, ordering him to be placed on 36 months of probation. She said, "You have children who need you. You have the opportunity to prove to society that you aren't a threat anymore." Yes, he does, because you spared him any prison time for aggravated assault, for stabbing a guy, for threatening to shoot a guy who posed no threat to him whatsoever. Just showed up driving his cousin who was going to pick up a kid. So, I have to say, this is Utah. This isn't, New Jersey or Massachusetts. This is Ruby Red, Utah. I did not expect to see a decision like this. In the comment section at the Cache Valley Daily, I just have to say, a lot of people going after the judge there. What a joke for a sentence, said one of them. And she finishes the clown show by saying, "You have children who need you." What a laugh. So this guy can stab and shoot someone, get released in less than 2 years, avoid any prison time, and keep his kids? Sounds like a great deal, said one of the commenters. Yeah, this does seem awfully special. But maybe this is the status quo in her courtroom. Who knows? All right, on to today's Armed Citizen story. from Houston, Texas, where a Houston pool hall owner shot a suspected intruder who was armed with a crowbar. The crowbar wielding intruder allegedly came after the owner of this pool hall. It happened, I believe, last Thursday morning, about 2 o'clock in the morning. According to the Houston Police Department, the owner heard banging coming from the back of the business. So he grabbed his pistol and went outside to investigate. There are apparently two guys back there. Investigators say one suspect was acting as a lookout, while another suspect who had a crowbar was at the rear of the building. Police say the lookout warned the second suspect, who then charged towards the owner with the crowbar in hand. That's when the owner fired his gun, striking the suspect in the leg. Second suspect then ran from the scene. Short time later, employees at a nearby fast food restaurant called 911 after finding a man in his 20s with a gunshot wound to the leg. Officers determined that he was the suspected intruder involved in the shooting. He was taken into custody, taken to a local hospital. The pool hall owner told investigators that he thinks the suspects may have been targeting televisions inside the business that he had recently removed from the walls. He told police that he suspects someone may have told the intruders that the TV would be an easy target. Police are still searching for the second suspect. At this point, all indications are that this was a justifiable use of force. You got a guy running towards you with a crowbar, trying to hurt the person who is preventing them from conducting a burglary. At that point, yeah, you have a right to defend yourself. But we'll keep our eyes open for any more information. And finally today, our good deed of the day, in the right place at the right time, willing and able to do the right thing. You know, we cover a lot of burning cars and people being rescued from burning cars. I think this is the first time, though, at least first time in a while, that we've talked about a burning boat rescue and a good Samaritan rescuing three people from a burning boat on the Ottawa River in Toledo, Ohio. This was just a couple of days ago. I believe it was Friday night. Three people suffering burn injuries, transported to the local hospital. Crews responded around 7:30 in the evening across the river from the Ottawa River Yacht Club for reports of a boat that was on fire. Battalion chief said a good Samaritan was able to get the three victims off of the boat, bring them to the side of the yacht club. He was then able to also help push the burning boat away from other boats and the yacht club further out into the river towards the first responders, where they could extinguish the blaze. Cause of the fire now under investigation. Again, three people injured, but it could have been so much worse had that good Samaritan not been there at risk to himself, helping those individuals out. So in the right place at the right time, willing and able to do the right thing. We thank you, Toledo Good Samaritan, for your very good deed. And that is going to do it for this edition of Bearing Arms, Scam and Company. I want to thank you for being a part of the program as always. Looking forward to seeing you back here again tomorrow. We are going to be talking more about the Third Circuit decision coming up on Wednesday. Daniel Schmutter, who is the primary plaintiff's attorney for the Association of New Jersey Rifle and Pistol Clubs, one of the named plaintiffs in the assault weapon, quote unquote, and magazine ban case. He's going to be with us on the program. Really looking forward to talking with Dan. You know, Dan is a very sharp legal mind, but he obviously has a great deal of institutional knowledge about this case and has been poring over both the majority opinion, the four concurring opinions, I think there were, and then the three dissenting opinions. So we're going to do a legal deep dive into this decision on Wednesday. And I'm very much looking forward to talking with Dan later in the week. Have a great rest of your day today. Hopefully a good Monday, as good as Mondays can be. Be sure to check out BearingArms.com throughout the day today. We are keeping you up to date on the latest Second Amendment news and information from across the nation, including a very unhappy judge in the U.S. Virgin Islands. We've got the repeal of a gun rationing scheme in one California city, and a whole lot more all waiting for you at Bearing Arms. And again, tomorrow, hopefully, we get to celebrate this injunction going into effect in Virginia and people once again being able to purchase AR-15s, magazines over 15 rounds, and other commonly owned arms. I'm keeping my fingers crossed we're able to celebrate. All right, enjoy the rest of your day. We'll see you back here again tomorrow. Until then, be well, be safe, and be free.